Hey listeners, welcome back to Massage Noir Murders. I'm your host, Renetta Rideout, and today's episode features the case of a missing child from Austin, Texas. Because there was very little information about her case, it's impossible for me to deliver a full episode. So instead of simply not covering it, I present you with a mini episode. This is a story about the abduction of toddler Tanisha L. Watkins. On the brisk afternoon of June 5th, 1984, teen mom Deborah Watkins was busy doing some housekeeping. She was a sophomore in high school and the mother of two-year-old Tanisha, and she wanted her daughter to be occupied and out of the way while she got her chores done. It was a nice afternoon, somewhere around 1:30 p.m., so Deborah let Tanisha play in the front yard of their mobile home, located at 2110 Thrasher Lane, where Deborah and Tanisha lived with Deborah's mother. It wasn't abnormal or neglectful for the baby to sit outside and play in the yard. Little Tanisha was within clear view of her mom, Deborah, as she vigorously swept the rug in the living room. Despite being a teenager who became pregnant in the ninth grade and subsequently having left school as a result, Deborah was a good mother and made sure she could see Tanisha as she played on the swing set the child knew so well. Deborah's attention focused on the sweeping chore for a few minutes, and when she looked up through the window to check on Tanisha, she didn't see the child where she'd just been moments before. That was odd, yes, but no need to panic just yet, right? Deborah went outside to get a better look, but sure enough, her eyes hadn't deceived her. Tanisha was gone. Immediately, the panic sets in, and so Deborah ran to her neighbor's house to use the phone because at her house they didn't have one. In an effort to help, the neighbor tried to calm Deborah's fears and reasoned that Tanisha had probably just wandered off. So the two of them set out to look for the baby in the neighborhood. The decision to not call the police right away would ultimately cost the investigation precious time that is critical when children go missing. But at that time, Deborah was in a panic and had hoped that Tanisha had indeed wandered off. Sadly, that was not the case. And after 2 hours of searching, Deborah came to the sickening realization that Tanisha was missing. At 3:37 p.m., Deborah finally called the police. When the police arrived, much to my surprise, they wasted no time beginning their investigation. They soon spread out to search the trailer park and surrounding area themselves, employing the aid of search dogs. They even deployed a helicopter with the hope that its infrared technology would locate Tanisha. Even though authorities searched high and low, they were as unsuccessful in finding the baby as her mother and neighbor had been hours earlier. Whatever happened to Tanisha, however she had gotten away from her home, one thing was for sure: she was gone. After calling off the search for the day, police returned to the scene 6 days later. They had with them 25 volunteers, and together they searched the acreage behind Deborah and her mother's mobile home. Again, their search was fruitless. Not only did they not find Tanisha, they also found no evidence that would give them a clue as to where she could be or what might have happened to her. This case was cold right from the start, and 10 months would come to pass before a new lead would surface. In November of 1984, a couple and their daughter moved into a new apartment in Northeast Austin when an onlooker took notice of the little girl. There was something familiar about her, so much so that the witness could not look away. When the familiarity was placed, the watcher realized the little girl who accompanied the new neighbors looked very much like 2-year-old Tanisha, who disappeared at the beginning of the year. This Samaritan was convinced the police should at least have a look at the couple and their child, which, hey, I gotta give this person all the props and credit because we kind of do need that type of vigilance. So this person called the police and gave them the first tip in almost a year after Tanisha's abduction. However, when police arrived to investigate the lead, they soon realized the child only resembled Tanisha, but was not her. And again, the investigation slammed into a brick wall and abruptly halted. Fast forward to 2001, the Austin American Statesman, a news publication that originally reported on Tanisha's case back in the 80s, reported in a brief statement that on the day Tanisha went missing, a witness claims to have seen the child walking along Riverside Drive with a tall, slender, bearded man wearing a green army jacket. Now, if you're scratching your head wondering if I simply failed to mention this man previously, rest assured, I did not. This was a brand new detail that hadn't been previously reported on, according to a write-up about this case by True Crime Diva. The blogger found the same 2001 article I did. In no other source material prior to 2001 could I find any reference of this man with Tanisha possibly in his custody. For me, this sticks out and generates a slew of questions about this new lead. Mainly, why is it just now coming to light 17 years after the event? Was it because the media simply failed to report it? If so, why? Or had someone only just decided to share what they knew for whatever reason? To me, it's such an important lead that I can't believe it never came up prior to 2001. And yet, big as day, here it is. Of course, this information wasn't much of a lead in 2001. Obviously, the stranger with the young child in tow was long gone, if they were there at all. And sadly, with that, this is where Tanisha's case simply ends. No resolution in sight. She remains missing and would be a grown woman of 38 years old now. Even today, no new leads have surfaced in this mystery, but that doesn't stop folks from wondering and speculating about it, myself included. Just indulge me for a few minutes, would you? I want to just share some thoughts. Please note that these are just my opinions and, you know, some questions that I have. In no way, shape, or form is this factual or found in any news article you can find, but I think they're worth talking through. For starters, I'm not convinced Tanisha was taken by a stranger. Sure, some nefarious child predator could have been in the area and spotted the young child alone in the yard at the exact time her mom wasn't looking, but it seems so unlikely that no one in the neighborhood noticed a strange man. It's especially weird that when you consider Deborah was only a few feet away with a clear view of the front yard. It's just a little too convenient and impossible for me to accept. Where could he have gone so quickly on foot? Did the police thoroughly check all the neighbors? Maybe he was like holed up in one of their houses? I don't know. I can only imagine that if someone did just snatch Tanisha, they had to get away quickly because Deborah and her neighbor searched the area for 2 hours and she noticed she was missing right away. Surely the man and the child didn't just evaporate into thin air. How could a stranger sneak onto her property without Deborah noticing? Wouldn't she have seen a tall, slender stranger approach her home? And what about Tanisha's dad? Where does he fit in all of this? Where was he, and what had he been doing when Tanisha went missing? All I know about him is that he told police when Tanisha came up missing that he thought Deborah took the baby out of town. Now, that's an odd thing to say, and I wonder where he got the idea. Had there been plans for a mother-daughter trip between Deborah and Tanisha? Had Deborah told him about these plans? I really don't know. but it just sounds like a randomly specific thing to say. I couldn't find any sources that explained how he came to think Tanisha was out of town, but it does make you wonder, right? Maybe I'm alone, maybe not. Tell me in the discussion group what you think. Send me an email. I kind of want to know what you guys think about this case. So listen, my intention is not to cast doubt onto Deborah or Tanisha's dad, but instead to call attention to things that seem like they don't fit in this abduction. It's probable the police wandered down the same road of confusion and asked and answered all of these questions. After all these years, I have to hope that is what happened and not any negligence or sloppy police work. Unfortunately, the story never really made it beyond Austin, so there simply wasn't enough public interest to encourage a deeper dive into the investigation or pressure for police to share information. We may never know what happened to little Tanisha that day in January. If you were in Austin, Texas in 1984 and think you might even have an inkling of information on Tanisha's disappearance, please reach out to any Austin Police Department. The last phone number I found linked to this case was 512-974-0916. As always, thanks for listening. If you want to stay in the know and make sure you never miss a new episode, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And don't forget to follow on Instagram at @MassageNoirMurders. This is a Savvy Sounds production, written and produced by Renetta Rideout.